The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You gonna fight someone?
I'm gonna fight my computer. That's okay. What's gonna happen. It was late last night, so I had to succumb to doing water with a little tiny bit of baking soda in it.
Oh. Did it work?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I gotta go get the purple pill today.
Yeah.
And maybe some Tums. And just all the things, because it's bad. And maybe I have to reevaluate my diet.
Yeah, what do you think is affecting it?
I don't know. Acid.
Well, obviously. But, like, what acid are you eating?
Let's see. I drink coffee. I eat a lot of tomato-based things. I, like, my favorite chips that I have in my house right now are salt and vinegar.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wouldn't, while you are, so when you're trying to get out of it, I wouldn't eat any of the stuff.
No, and I didn't, but like anytime
irritates
I,
it.
Anything, I'm getting
yeah, because
heartburn.
It's residual. You know, yeah. You need the, not Prilosec, you need like the, that one that I just worked with, because it's like a 14-day like program, mm-hmm. And it helps a lot more.
Yeah, well,
so get that one, not like the daily one.
Okay, fine.
It should help you, but you have to take it every day for 14 days.
Okay. Yeah, Omniprozol you're technically only supposed to take for 14 days straight.
Yeah, I would do this one.
Okay. Yeah,
like those pills are good, like if you have it like once in a while, mm-hmm. You know what
yeah.
I mean.
But
if
no,
you're
I'm
having like
I'm,
a,
it's chronic right now. It's,
yeah,
I'm suffering.
Then I would do this, that one.
It's so rude.
Yeah,
I'm getting so old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had heartburn since I was 20, so I don't. I think it's drinking too.
So yeah, somebody I dated, he like had to change his entire diet because of his heartburn. It was so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. Okay, we got a bunch of questions, and I'm gonna try to find one that has to do with heartburn related. None of them do. But this is kind of, what do you do to get over heartbreak?
I knew you were gonna pick that one.
You know, heartburn, heartbreak, pretty similar.
I don't know. What have you done?
So. I have phases.
Okay.
I have phases. For the first like day, or I'm going to be sad for like 2 days. I'm going to let myself be sad. And then I'm going to decide.
For 2 days?
Just listen. It's a very short amount of time that I let myself be sad.
Okay.
And usually I throw myself into like friends and I don't want to be alone at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decide I'm over it. Fuck them. And then I go on dates and I fuck somebody. And then I get sad again.
Okay.
And then I'm sad for a really long time.
Okay.
But I think the best thing to do is just surround yourself around good people. I wouldn't necessarily do what I do, because I realize every time after that it was the wrong thing and I wasn't ready. And then I like just need to be around good people and give myself time.
Yeah,
to heal.
I do think that there's like always people are always like, just get back out there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you haven't like partially healed, then it's just gonna resurface in a different way. And if you're not ready to date, like I wouldn't bring someone into your universe at all. Mm-mm. Just listened to a girl on TikTok who was basically talking. This is the exact same thing. She met her husband in Nashville on a dating app, but like she had just broken up with someone, and they went through like a 8-month will they won't they thing, because she like just did not care. She's like, I didn't even know his name, but he was like
invested.
Like they messaged and then they like met up with friends. I mean, they're younger, so they met up with like friends, I think, for the first hangout. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, I forgot who he was.
Yeah.
Because the next day he texted and she was like, I don't feel it, like I'm not ready, you know. And then They matched again on a dating app a few months later when she was like actually ready, and then they actually started dating. But it was like he tried a few times and she was like always be like, I don't know who you are, before they matched on the dating app. And I don't know, I just feel like it's like, don't bring someone into your universe if you're not ready to bring someone into your universe.
Yeah, I just think give yourself time. Like, I don't necessarily like to cry on my own. My brain like stops me, so I always watch really sad TV shows and movies to get my emotions out. And then therapy, I guess I get them out there too, but like,
yeah, therapy's if you are really having a hard time like moving on from it, therapy is always good.
It's really interesting being in therapy when you are going through a breakup or about to go through a breakup, and like they're like, you should be broken up, and then you stay with them, and then like then you break up, and it's like, I know they really want to be like, told you so, but they can't.
Yeah,
but at least you have them there to talk to after,
for sure.
Things that maybe you don't want to tell your friends, or you know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff people keep because you don't want your friends to hate them, or
yeah, because what if you get you back together stupid.
Yeah,
there's there's so many different, like, so that's always nice to have a non-judgmental person,
for sure,
that doesn't have a lick in the game. What question next? We got so many good, like, so many good ones, but so many, like, I'm like, what's an easy one? But they're all pretty, well, this is easy. Would you ever use a matchmaking service?
I would if I thought that I, like, if there was, like, I've seen success from, other people having, being on it or whatever, they're just really expensive.
Yeah.
And I feel like for, I'm not sure like the return on investment is
there.
Yeah. It's really the price point that would like deter me, because it just feels astronomical.
Yeah.
And then of course I'm like, I don't even see men paying $5 for tickets to go to like some of these events where they're supposed to be meeting people. So who is reaching out to a matchmaker is my question. Are they the kind of person that I want to
date? I've signed up to be like one of like the pool of people that like matchmakers pull from. And I've only gotten like two emails with like potential people. So, but I've never like, the barrier to entry for matchmaking is steep.
Yeah.
But I guess. I
had a friend who like looked into it in Chicago, and I think it was like $7,000.
Yeah.
And she didn't end up doing it. She ended up meeting a guy in her building. Oh. now they're married and live in the suburbs. So it can happen.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, 45 and I'm still single, maybe then.
Really?
I don't know. Like, you know, if what I'm doing isn't working and I have the financial means to do it, maybe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say never. You know? Because at some point you got to change something up. I don't know. Maybe it's me thinking like that I'll be desperate enough to do it.
That's not. That's a bad.
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good, but I could see, you know. But also, like, it depends if I've been single, like, the whole 10 years leading up to that, like, or if I've been, you know, like, in relationships. It really depends.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's got to be some good ones out there. I just don't know if there are any good in Chicago, so.
Yeah.
And if there are, I haven't heard of them.
Yeah.
I'm not open to, I mean, like, I wish there was, like, more of, like, the, like Indian matchmaking. I love that show. That feels like more of a, like, you've got this like aunt who's like finding you a person. That feels like more like personal. What I would instead of a service, I would like it to be like someone, I don't know.
Yeah,
like I do think matchmaking works on a like higher level, but I feel like someone who like knows you really well, it would be like my preference.
Yeah.
My dad wants to set me up, and so I'm like, I guess I should probably
I think you should do it. Is it like somebody he's really good friends with, or just like...
No, someone he like volunteers with.
Oh, yeah.
He likes festivals too, so my dad was like, oh, I think you should meet him.
Yeah. Like, as especially since they're like not like really good friends, like it's just like casual, like what's the harm?
I hate that caveat of like really good friend thing though, because it annoys me so much. I've had so many people be like, I don't want to hook you up with anyone because then it'll like ruin this, like that, blah, blah. Like, okay, but if we're all adults here, I don't think it will. So if you think that that guy's just like a really big douchebag, then why are you even friends with him?
Yeah.
I don't know. Bothers me. Sorry.
I'm just saying like that there's lower stakes than like if, you know.
Yeah. I remember this. I'm like, I don't hang out with you guys normally. So I guess I don't know why this is like that big a deal. Like we hang out maybe. And that's how you and your wife got set up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Rate the dating apps. They're all trash.
Yeah. I don't think you can rate them. I think they're all. I even had so I'm back on Facebook dating and I started talking to this guy. He lives in Indianapolis, which I don't actually care as long as we're both committed to like doing a back and forth for
a
while.
It's 3.5 hours.
While we figure it out. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think that's crazy. So he and I start talking and he was like, oh, I wish you didn't live in Chicago. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I wish you didn't live in Indianapolis. And he was like, I was like, but are you open to like talking and seeing where this goes, and then like we figure things out as we go to like see if there's a connection. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. And I was like, okay, chill, cool. Then while I'm at the fair, he was texting me being like, should I come down there? And I was like, why would you come down here?
Oh, to the fair?
Yeah. And like implying that he wanted to stay in my hotel. And I was like, it's a little too early for like you hanging out in my hotel room.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, if you want to come down here and hang out for the day and then you go home, sure. And he was like, no, I guess I don't understand why you think that we would like this is obviously this is about sex.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, I didn't think that was obviously about sex, because when I said like, let's see where things go, that to me was implying that there could be. He's like, but I live in Indianapolis. I was like, okay, well, then you should have said that you were
just looking for sex.
Not looking for us to be in a relationship. He's like, well, it wouldn't work. And I was like, okay, well, then you should. I was like, message received. Noted. Got it.
Fuck.
And yeah, because he started going on this like, you know, kept like pushing it. I was like, I got it. Block me. Like, get the fuck out of here, bro.
Yeah.
I was like, he was like, would have been a good time. All this shit. I was like, okay, well, you're showing your true colors now.
Actually, sir, probably wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Eh. Ew.
I know.
Gross.
I know.
So Facebook dating, very down on the list.
No, I mean, I think I've found like some good guys through it. It's just like, what I'm trying to say is that like even ones that I've like found good people on, you can find bad people on.
Yeah.
So no matter what, even if it's something that's working for you, it could just not work for you too. Easily. Anyone who says that they have a preference, it's usually because they met someone nice on it.
Yeah.
So it's just all dating apps are obviously the world of dating apps is collapsing. So, you know, there's like people are just not joining them as much anymore. I feel like the people who are just looking for sex. Or a hookup or whatever. I don't know about you, but when I have my period, I am a super bloated and all I want are some fries.
Yeah, I have so many cravings. I'm down. My body just feels off. I feel so uncomfortable.
Are you sometimes not able to sleep?
Always. Like, it's. I thought I was the only one that dealt with that. What do you, wait, you don't sleep too?
Yeah.
I'm up all the time. I thought it was just my cortisol levels. I've heard about hormone harmony, which can help eliminate some of the things we feel when we're PMSing.
Yeah, I'm actually trying it right now. And I really like it because it contains science-backed herbal extracts called aptogens. Now, here's the beauty about aptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout your life.
So hormone harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But if you are struggling with menopause or perimenopause symptoms that put your life on hold, like hot flashes, racing thoughts and low moods, or poor sleep like we suffer from, Hormone Harmony can help with any of those things.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and it's third-party tested.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Swipe Fat at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Swipe Fat for 15% off today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, speaking of that, if someone's asking for a friends with benefit on an app, are they looking for a one time or to be actual friends who hook up? What do you think?
I think that's a, that's like a, you're going to an interview for a friends with benefits. Yeah. If it works out, then yeah, you could possibly have a friend with benefits, but if the sex isn't good, then no, it's a one-time thing.
It's a one-time thing. And then also, like, are people who actually are friends with benefits actually friends? I don't think so. They're just fuck buddies.
I mean, I think you can be friends with someone that you're having sex with.
Mm-hmm. I've never done that, like a friends with benefits situation, so I don't even know. But yeah. I think you could, like, clarify, like, one, what hurts asking, are you looking for somebody, like, for a one-time thing? Or are you looking for, if we have chemistry, for it to be, like, a continuous thing?
I think that where the friends with benefits thing gets sticky is if you're actually doing stuff that, like, friends do, like going out together. I think friends with benefits is, like, a strictly inside the house thing.
Yeah.
Or, like, you talk about it and you know, like, where you stand. Because, like, feelings can easily get involved if you're doing stuff outside the house and you haven't had that discussion, because you think things are, like, moving towards that. But I would say, like, usually for men, at least, when they say they want friends with benefits, that's like, actually, they're actually saying that. They're not saying, like, it's not some rom-com where they're going to, like, automatically fall in love with you in like 4 months. So I would just, like, keep your, making sure that you guys are having a conversation about that. Cause, like, I have a friends with benefits that I feel like is an actual friend. Like, we chat and stuff, and, like, I don't think there's any confusion there anymore, but, like, we had to have that conversation where we, like, clarified that.
How to gain confidence to meet someone in person after talking online.
So you already are talking to them.
Yeah, you're talking online. And then you're going to meet in person and you're nervous. I think, like, it's okay to be nervous.
Yeah.
But you just have to know that if you're putting photos that look like you, you're putting accurate representation of you on there, like, you're proud of what you're showing, that you just have to take it for granted that they can see you and go with it with full confidence, like, and just, like, walk in there and, like, own it. And then if they give you that look, they're a fucking idiot and walk away.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to think of it like you have to back yourself.
Yeah.
It's scary, but I think you just have to go and, like, and back yourself in that situation.
I think also flipping the narrative, because I think we as women always go into situations where we're nervous someone's not going to like us. And it's like, what if I don't like them?
Yeah. That was a big thing.
Yeah. I think, like, and I still have a hard time with that, but it's like, I have to just repeat that to myself on a mantra, like, when I'm going on a first date, sort of like, well, they'd be lucky to, you know, not even they'd be lucky to be with me, sort of like, this is also an interview for them for to be my boyfriend.
Yeah.
So, like, they also need to be bringing something to the table.
Yeah. Am I interested in them? Am I attracted to them? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That, like, that, you're right. That flip around was huge.
Yeah.
Well, this one's less heavy. There's some heavy questions, damn. Okay. Do you remember the first time you wore a swimsuit proudly slash neutrally?
Like, in a fat body? No, I don't remember the exact moment it like changed for me. I mean, I do remember growing up being young, and I mean, like tankinis were such a big thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, like I had to wear one because I was like mid-size, you know, so I was like, oh, I must be covering my, what was I even covering up? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, I had to go through like a whole like body journey. Like kind of when I started Instagram, cause I was like showing my body more and getting more comments on my body. And I think after, I don't know, at some point it's just like, feels like you're just, I don't know, it's just clothes. And I don't think, I don't know, you just don't care anymore. Mm. I mean, obviously I still care sometimes.
Yeah.
But I would say like, there is like a flip though, where you're kind of like, meh, whatever. I'm just here to have fun and I'm here enjoying my life and I don't really give a shit what anyone else thinks. And
yeah,
it's the body I have.
Mm-hmm. I feel like in my mid to late 20s, I was wearing more like bikinis or like, you know, like long line bikinis, not necessarily tankinis. And I think that I was still I was still insecure, but I like did it. And because like, I have a lot of cellulite on my thighs. So that's always been like my biggest insecurity in a bathing suit. It's not necessarily my stomach or my size. It's like the cellulite. Mm-hmm. And I think it wasn't until like we started the podcast, specifically the first time I remember like not caring at all about being in the bathing suit was our beach party.
Okay.
Was I dating Ito that summer or was that a different summer? Summer before.
Probably.
I think like, no, I even cared a little bit, I think, with like, because I wanted to wear the right bathing suit. Like, you know, like I tried on multiple bathing suits before him and I went to the beach together. But yeah, I think it was our beach party that like I realized I didn't adjust anything once, and I think not adjusting was huge because like I always adjust out of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was, and then after that I didn't care. Like I don't know if that was like just super like eye-opening to me that I was able to be in an environment like and not care, and then from there I stopped adjusting and caring.
Yeah. I mean, for that beach party, it was also helpful because we went to a gay beach. So mm-hmm. just felt like, you know, there was no gaze at all mm-hmm. on anyone other than men in Speedos. Yeah. So,
yeah. Like, I think, like, you know, because I went to the pool with the guy I was dating in Indiana. And, like, I think normally maybe I would have been nervous about like taking off my clothes and at a pub, like, you know, like at an apartment pool and people seeing me, or like, and then it would be like, oh, well, what is he thinking about people seeing mm-hmm. me? And like, and I just didn't give a fuck. I remember not caring in Italy when we went, and like, yeah, I feel like it was very like, I think like the pool or the beach party was very like, it gave me the grace to like not care about it, to be neutral in mm-hmm. it. So, yeah. Which, so not too long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Just being around safe people, I think, helps.
I think it's also just doing it.
Yeah. This kind of goes with it. How do you pick yourself back up when, in quote, I look so shit and don't fit in my clothes mood? So I have that mood a lot. Like, I have it like with my cycle, I think. And like, I have like some things, I have things that like immediately help me. I don't know if you have like things, but like I wear an outfit that I know I feel comfortable in. So it's usually like a dress, or it's like jeans, like a specific dress, or it's like jeans and a top. And then like, I do my hair, I do my makeup, I put on a red lip, and I wear like a heeled like booty of some sorts. And like, that will always make me feel confident.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets me out of the rut, and it like, it helps trick my brain.
Yeah.
Like for shopping sure. for new clothes doesn't necessarily do that. But also, if you aren't fitting in your clothes, buy new clothes.
Yeah.
That fit you. that is like, but if it's just like it's a periodic thing, like in your clothes do fit you but they're not necessarily fitting you the way you want, or you're having a bad body image day or something, like just put on the one thing you know that you always feel somewhat good in, and then like, and like get out of the house, just like wear it and go, and that usually for me helps.
Yeah, I think it's definitely having an outfit that you like. It's the same with like when you go on a date and you have like a date outfit that you know you like feel good in.
Mm-hmm.
I get it with my cycle too, where I'm just like more bloated, and I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, I'll feel ugly. I feel like all of these things. Like, yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's just wearing something that's more flowy.
Uh huh. That you feel pretty in.
Yeah, I think like sometimes even less than about pretty, like just like I know it's gonna show like my rolls or like something like that, where it's like I'll just wear something like big and flowy, and it'll just like, I don't know, makes me feel more like in tune with my, like, I know I won't like judge myself if I sit down and I feel like I like look at myself in a mirror or photo or something, you know, like that's gonna make me feel worse.
Yeah.
So I know if I'm like in something that like, I don't know, it's not like covering me up because they're usually pretty loud colors, but it's like, you know, giving some flow there where it's like just being kinder to myself because I know I could spiral if I wear something that's tight and like makes me feel like shit.
Yeah.
Seeing it back later.
Okay.
But I would say it's only like a few, times a month that that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really with my cycle. I've learned more and more.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Like it, but it's like the week, you know, like before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
But you get like, it is true. I mean, have you even seen the pictures of people have been taking pictures of their faces when they're in each cycle? And your face like totally changes. It like, gets like droopy or like tightens because it's all like, I don't know what the, I'm sure this isn't true, but like collagen like there's something there, it's where it's like you're losing elasticity, I don't know. Bodies are weird, man.
They are, they're so weird. Clothing recs for someone who just started to embrace their fat body and want to feel sexy, where are we shopping?
Goodness, I don't really feel like I wear quote unquote sexy clothes, but okay, if you're like just starting out and you want to like kind of test the waters, I would say like I would try Amazon. They have like a lot of good body suits that are cheaper, and you can kind of just like play with like what you like or don't like, like those sexy lingerie ones, like they're on there, the pinsy ones, or Torrid. I would go like cheaper, or Fashion Nova. Like something that's a little cheaper, you can like figure out what your style is.
Yeah.
With this like sexy style, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you graduate and know exactly, like Eloquy has some great stuff that's sexy.
Yeah. I feel like for me, I feel sexier when I dress more flattering to my body. That's something I'm trying to break out of now, is to not be always flattering. But like, I always like when I'm dressing to my curves, then I feel sexier.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you know, so if for me, it's like I can wear like wide leg jeans, but I'm wearing like a crop top, you know, or something like that. I think, you know, it's not always like sexy, sexy items, but it could even be a t-shirt and jeans, and I feel sexier when it's styled toward like more flattering for me. So I think it's just like finding what you like, doing the cheaper things, like Alex said, finding like what you like on your body, or what makes you feel good in your body, and then going from there, and not being scared to try things.
Yeah. When I first tried a crop top, I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm so sexy. And it was like a gym one, basically.
Yeah.
So it can be anything. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like a bodysuit or you know, a bodcon dress. Is that what they call them? Bodycon?
Bodycon dress. Like, I really love, like, instead of like wearing a bodysuit or something, like mesh items where I could wear like, I don't know, mesh makes, like, a mesh top makes me feel really attractive for some reason. I guess that's, like, my arms are technically covered, you know, they're usually long sleeves, so, but there's something.
Mm-hmm.
Just finding what makes you feel sexy. Just trying things out and, like, not being afraid to try things. Like, buy shit and return it.
Yeah.
Somebody asked how I can feel confident in an outfit with their apron belly. Just normalizing your apron belly for yourself first, I believe.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I feel like I have an apron belly. I think also following people who have apron bellies on Instagram. Ashley Durow is a great one to follow. Chloe Zandria. She also talks a lot about, like, things that make her feel confident with an apron belly. I think it's, like, that for me is huge. It's, like, when I see someone who's wearing something that looks similar to my body type, then I can, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, normal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's easier to normalize it on somebody else before it is on yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then it's the same thing we've always said before, which is, I mean, I think walking around naked or in lingerie and, like, normalizing that your body also looks sexy, because I think it was, I remember Natalie, who was the first person we ever had on the podcast. I remember when I first started following her and I was like, oh, she's so cute and so sweet, sexy and, like, all this stuff. And I was like, but you are too. So why is it that you look at her and you think it's cute on her, but not on you, you know? So I think it's like, it is, Instagram is a nice place for that, to be able to, like, or TikTok, normalize that, like, when a body looks like yours, that it can be sexy. So if I see another person doing it, that helps me then look in the mirror and be like, oh, you're cute too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking with somebody about, like, arms being out. It was on Monday, and she's like, you're helping me so much. I was like, girl, you just gotta do it. She goes, yeah, I realized, like, I thought you were, like, cute and attractive, and, like, you were you looked great, so why couldn't I was like, exactly, that is the first like, I always look at other people first, and then I'm like, wait, and then you have to flip it back on to yourself. Let's jump back to dating. What type of men are really into fat girls? Nerds, gym bros, or are these just myths? Everybody can be into fat girls.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's, like, a myth. I think there's, like, definitely, we've had whole episodes on, like, gym bros, but I think there is, like, I think it's less about a typical type of person and, what am I trying to say? I think it is a specific type of person, but it's not a generic, like, stereotype of, like, a human. So, like, putting them in categories, like a nerd or whatever. I think it's anyone who is confident and doesn't care what anyone else thinks, because we do live in a society where people do care. And I think the specific kind of person who's into, I think everyone probably has a dereliction, like, towards, like, some sort of, like, wave of, like, curves or fat or whatever. I think all of that is a thing, but I think we all, like, we've also been, like, taught to not like that. So I think a lot of people suppress those feelings. I think people who, like, lean into liking all bodies or larger bodies are people who don't give a fuck.
And I think, like, we always, like, call out the nerds or the gym bros. Well, nerds usually don't give a fuck about what people are thinking, you know?
Gym bros, like, are confident.
But we're also so surprised when a gym bro or somebody who is super strong or athletic, like, I think, like, we're surprised that they like somebody fat, but it's like, so, like, I think that's why we, like, jump on to gym bros, like, you know, because it's always, it's surprising. So then it became, like, the type, the thing.
There's also, like, so many different kinds of gym bros, and, like, I think there's a lot of fatphobic people that are gym bros out there. There are guys who lost a shit ton of weight and then, like, don't want to be associated with fat people anymore. There are people who are just, like, drank the Kool-Aid and think that every fat body is a bad body or unhealthy body. But I think if I've noticed that if, like, a guy has been fit his whole life, and, like, kind of, like, athletic, tends to also not care because like they just like lived their life and it was so they don't care as much. But that's a specific kind of gym bro.
Yeah.
I think it's the mentality.
Yeah, it's the person really.
Yeah, obviously. Like you said. But I think like you're right, like nerds don't care because they're already getting judged for liking nerdy shit.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know.
Yeah. There are also are a lot of fat phobic nerds, but you know, like I mean it like totally. She said, there's everybody. So
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on sexting with a guy from a dating app before you even meet?
No. Not unless all you want is sex.
Yeah. You just
That's end of story.
Yeah. If you're looking for, if you're looking to date them, no. If you just want sex, great. That's like Cause they're leading with sex. You know? That's,
well also they'll put you in a box.
Yeah.
Boxes are real. It's hard to get out of a box once you're in a box.
Mm-hmm. What's your biggest non-physical appearance insecurity when dating?
Non-physical?
Yeah.
I mean, I talk about this all the time, that I'm like too much.
Yeah. I think a new one for me is like not being enough. That's like, you know, like I think like it encapsulates it, like I'm not being enough. But I think that really has to do when like people are finding me on public platforms. Like being disappointing, I think, is a new like random, like not random, but like I'm like worried of always about disappointing people. But I guess my biggest insecurity is probably once I start dating somebody, having to open up about my past. You know, that's not something I open up about easily, and like being judged by about my past. So.
Yeah.
And my trauma. So that's like a big insecurity.
Well, that's what mine is wrapped up into.
Yeah.
It's like being too much, like having too many things. Like that was something that someone told me that when I was dating them once, like, oh man, you've had a lot of stuff happen to you. Like it's like too much for you to like handle.
Yeah.
So it's not just like be like your personality is too much. It's like there's so many things that are too much, you know, like the job is too much. Like you're too social, you're too this, you're too, you know, so it's like too much.
It's a lot. Like, or I mean, it's not a lot, but I mean like the fear is real. It's just having to be vulnerable about it. So yeah, that's definitely, it's so interesting that you like do it as too much and I do it as not enough. Like, you know, it's interesting.
I mean, it's the same thing though.
It is the same, yeah, but I'm just like how we think about it.
Yeah, I think it's like, because that's how it was framed to me. Maybe that's how it was framed to you.
Yeah.
Before, like in past relationships too, because like, you know, my it was my ex. It also happened in a very short amount of time where I feel like all people were like saying similar stuff. And it's like now looking back on it, being more emotionally intelligent about dating, like I'm realizing that they were just not ready for relationships or emotionally available. Emotionally ready to like be fully present with someone. Like if you want to date somebody, like someone's trauma should not be like a drama. So
yeah. Nikki, can you tell us more about your failed weight loss surgery? I'm in the same boat. You can DM me if you guys have questions about that. I don't really want to talk about like weight loss with the like the world of like where we're at with the world. And somebody also asked if we want to if we would try weight loss medications. And I just feel like we believe in body autonomy. Do what you want with your body as long as you're not harming somebody else or yourself. But like I think like the state of the world right now really sucks. Like with, you know, body image and people losing weight and then telling you that like, haha, it's not okay to be fat. And like, there's, I don't know, there's just so many things. And like, I don't think we want to be those people. Right. Like, that's like, you have to, you know, we can all have private conversations about stuff like that. But I think like,
I think also, I mean, I think it's hard too with stuff like that because your opinion can change. So like we can say one thing now and maybe down the line, like, you know, you might need them for a different reason. I don't know. It's just like not, we did a whole Patreon episode on the Oprah special and I feel like if you want to understand more of like thoughts and feelings, you could probably listen to that.
Well, do you have any advice for letting go of the quote skinny dream and accepting what I look like today?
Yeah, I think that's a really hard one. We just did a whole episode on longing, and I think like that, it was about limerence, but so if you're looking for it, it's called the one about limerence. But limerence and longing are, you know, basically the same thing. And I think that like so many of us probably have this, like could relate to limerence for like being skinny, because I think like for majority of my life, that was probably the thing I longed for the most, because it feels like you're going to like start your life once you're skinny. Mm-hmm. And I, for me, I think that was the biggest part. So my advice would be like maybe not letting go of the dream, but just living your life and doing the things that you were going to wait to do until you were skinny.
Yeah.
Like wear the thing that you were going to wait to wear. Go on the trip you were waiting to be a certain weight for. Go on the dating apps even though you haven't lost the weight. I think really what it is like this. You stop living because you're waiting for yourself to like have this like glow up that is surrounded, like attached to weight. And really the glow up is like actually having the life that you want to live in the body you're at, no matter what. So like once you do have, like you start doing whatever you want, then I think like you'll just stop thinking about it as much.
Yeah.
Not, of course, there's always glimmers, and like that's not, I don't think it ever really truly goes away until we're in a society where being in any body is fine. I don't think you're ever not going to think about it. Like, I think it's always going to be a thing that like niggles, wiggles in the back of your mind. What the fuck? Where did that end? Come from?
I don't know, girl. I don't know.
No, I'm trying to think of what words I was trying to put together.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, like it's always just gonna be like a little like tapeworm in you, unfortunately.
Yeah, like somebody says, what do you do when you notice you're having a lot of self-talk? It's like you're always gonna, like there's always gonna be self-talk that creeps back in.
Yeah.
And I think that you can give yourself,
you just
grace.
Want it to be less and less.
Yeah.
Like the goal is like, I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine recently and I was like, I don't really think about my body every day. And she was like, well, that's the dream. And I was like, totally. But you have to like actually work to do it. Like you have to like actually like start to love your life and yourself. And then the body stuff kind of stops being such a big thing in your brain.
Yeah. And it does happen. Like,
of course.
I said earlier, sick, like with my cycle, I get a lot of it. Or if I buy a pair of pants that, you know, is the size I normally wear. And like, then I have to be like, I'll start like having internal thoughts and I'm like, stop. Like, I'll just tell myself to stop. And like, or I give it to myself for a day and it's like, okay, tomorrow we have to be over this. You know, it's like, it's giving yourself grace because you can't beat yourself up for having those thoughts, because then it'll just like, you'll keep having them.
Right.
What's the best deodorant that works but doesn't get leave marks? No natural craziness. Have we ever talked about what deodorant do you wear?
I don't even know what the name of it is.
I wear like Secret Clinical Strength. I swear by it because your girl's a sweater. Your girl can be nasty.
Yeah, I don't really sweat.
Yeah, Secret Clinical Strength is what I have to do.
What is the name of it? It's a roll-on. I know that.
Oh.
I don't like the sticks because I feel like they leave residue.
Well, I do clear. Like, I could do a clear gel.
I like this roll-on one. What is the name of it?
I don't know. It's not mine.
Ban? That sounds right.
Yeah, I feel that one does. That one doesn't work for me.
Yeah, so, Ban.
Yeah, and I also can't do natural deodorants because they give me rashes. So I have to give me chemicals.
Like, train your body. I tried so hard and it just didn't work for me.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with the smell of the Mega Babe Rose one. And I literally broke out so badly. Like, it was bad. I tried so hard.
I got a rash from one.
Yeah.
And then it worked for 2 weeks. Then I got a rash and then it started. Then I was like, well, now I just smell. Like, it stopped working, I feel. But it's like you have to like do a detox if you're gonna do natural, and like I didn't ever do that, so I don't know if I ever gave it like the good old college try.
Yeah, I had, but the I was detox like, you know what? Masks.
I just think, like, honestly, for me, I think you, for any of this stuff, you have to decide like what risk you're willing to take for anything that you're putting in or around your body. And like for me, that wasn't one that I wanted to take. I didn't care anymore. That risk is fine. I'm gonna take the risk and put the iron or whatever is bad on me.
Yeah.
It's like same with the makeup. I guess I feel like at this point I'm almost 40. If it's gonna kill me, it's gonna kill me. And I guess like I don't know. I mean, if I were 21, maybe I would have a different thought process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've gone too far. There's so much plastic in my body at this point. There is. There has to be.
Yeah.
I grew up in the 80s. There's no way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
80s and 90s.
So many chemicals.
Eating frozen meals.
Yeah.
All the processed food. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. It's over for me. Save yourself.
Just pick your battle.
Pick your battle. If you're young, try. Try.
Do we end on a deodorant conversation? I don't think we can, but I think we do. Because all the other ones are kind of sad, so I think we do.
Well, we can have do another one of these.
Yeah.
And answer more questions.
Okay.
Next month.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.